Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone, and welcome to BGE Radio, Build, Grow, and Enjoy, WIGO 1570 AM Delight. Here in the New York City of the South, the ATL, and it's 3 o'clock, and I have lots of love to share with you all today. Joining me today, I have CEO of Boyd Advisory Group, James Boyd.
Good
How are you, James?
All.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's to you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I know you took it out your busy schedule to join us, but it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Well, we're going to go in and talk about some of this love and money and how we can enlighten some of our viewers out here today.
I'm sure they will appreciate it. James and I will be discussing love and money to you all today. In addition, James will be sharing a very important issue that's going on worldwide, how merging of currencies will affect our economy. So we are live in chat, buildgrownenjoy.com. The lines are open, 347-215-8709. So let's just get to it, George. You know, love and money, love and money. What is your term of love and money?
Being extremely careful, plain and simple. Watch your back and watch which state you get married in, plain and simple. I mean, when you look at a noted financial author, Larry Burkett, don't know if you're familiar with him, but he once said that money is either the best or the worst area of communication in our marriages. And as you are a financial counselor, planner, advisor, though that's one of the top five reasons other than dipping in the honeypot, so to speak, that people get divorced. And then you can be guaranteed that if you're in Georgia or in California or in the state of Texas, you're going to lose half, guaranteed at least half, of everything you got. Hence Charlie Sheen's most recent $55,000 a month payment that he's got to own up to. So I would start off with there. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is pretty much the same as yours. I know California is no joke, but you know, Georgia, I'm hearing they're coming around with it, too. I mean, it does sound really unromantic for you to have to, you know, get into a relationship with someone you feel that you're going to share the rest of your life with and, you know, you love and you're supposed to trust. But, hey, sometimes you got to take precautions because you just never know what's going to happen. And it's funny because they said since the recession, prenups have been on the rise. A lot of people are taking into consideration of getting the prenups now to protect their assets. It said that 73%, it has actually increased 73% in the past 5 years, and 52% were more women that requested the prenups, and 36% of that amount was most commonly cited in the prenups was the pensions and the retirement benefits. You know, there's a lot of blended families now. You know, people are going, you know, remarrying. You know, it's not the traditional way anymore. They said the average marriage lasts about 7 years. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors that are brought into relationships now. So I just wanted to point that out about the prenup. It kind of, I was reading this article and it just kind of, caught me off surprise. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it's just more like, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, they say if you, you know, you can have an apartment and a paycheck, then really you don't need a prenup. But if you have, like, real estate, a business, children from previous relationships, then it's suggested that you get one to protect yourself. I mean, James, disagree or agree?
I think that agree with you, but definitely, you know, if you look at a lot of counselors, they'll tell you the following. People don't get married for money, but they damn sure don't get married without it. And if you look at the simple fact of if you are in corporate law, if you are in any type of claim litigation practice, since the downturn of our economy, all that has been on the uptick because everyone's trying to sue each other. And you're also finding insurance premiums going up because of the fraud as well. So it is definitely not what it used to be. And I think that we are in the age of a new dawn where even love can be questioned. You know, does this person really love me, and does this person love my account? I guess we could probably play 50 Cent's 21 questions and see if, you know, those questions could be answered before you get to the judge's courthouse.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people, and I just kind of wanted to point this out, a lot of people don't even know, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot do, but there's a lot that don't know what a prenup is. And basically what a prenup is just an agreement that states your wishes for how your marital assets and debts would be handled in the event of divorce or death. Like California state, you know, it's a community property law state, so that means that everything is divvied up 50-50 during the marriage in equal portions. Some couples can waive, you know, your spousal support in case of a divorce. Other couples with children from previous marriages, they say, and established businesses or complicated investments, you know, they want you to spell out which assets go where, and often as a part of their estate planning. I would absolutely agree with that because it doesn't look at it in a negative way. It can be a positive thing, too, because it kind of just puts everything and lays all your cards out and, you know, what can be expected in case things like this do happen in the event of the death or a divorce. It's kind of like a preventative, you know, protection to you. So I just definitely want to say, you know, what the agreement actually states, because a lot of people do see a prenup as like, oh, you're just trying to keep something from me, you know, or maybe you're just trying to hide something. But actually, it can be a good thing. You just have to have that mutual understanding with your partner that you guys truly, truly trust one another and that it is for the purposes of just protecting both of you guys. And at the same time, you know, you just don't think about it, keep it moving and love one another. Enjoy the relationship, right, James?
Exactly. I mean, that would lead me to kind of another question, and that is the prenuptial investigation. I mean, have you ever heard of the parents of a couple having to come in and sign a form attesting to the baptism and freedom to marry the couple? I mean, a lot of people don't even think of that, and that's very big in the Catholic segment. I actually happened to stumble across a situation where a non-Catholic mother of the bride called the office and stated that she'd been told to come in and fill out form number 2, which obviously everyone doesn't understand what that is, but I'm sure we can get into that in a second, and basically had it sent to the priest who was preparing her DD and fiance for marriage. And so as a result, the copy of the Dyson was the prenup investigation form 2, and the petition for the dispensation for the disparity cult would follow from there. Now, a lot of people would say, well, why is this the case? Well, because the bride was Anglican. So that really says a lot about people that come from other religions and other cultures, thereby societies, and come to our country and want to, you know, impose those practices amongst the men here in this society. Because in this case, this was the bride who came from, I won't say a family of means, but this is a part of her culture and religion. What do you think about that being imposed on the men in this society?
Right.
Is that something for you? Is that something for you that you think is the right thing to do in this for men in this society, or is that a bit overboard?
I mean, you know, with me and religion, you know, I just. Religion to me is like the art of confusion. So, you know, I attend a non-denominational church, and I'm more into just the word. I mean, I just think that that's something that both couples just have to agree on. I mean, to me, you know, if you want to know Calithia, I think it's a little over the top. I just think it's this time, like, come on now, you know. Instead of taking the time to, you know, plan all that out, why don't you put the kids in some financial literacy classes or something and teach them about money, something that's actually going to impact them during their life, you know? I mean, not saying that wouldn't, but, I mean, how often? I mean, that's the first time me ever hearing about that, and so I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. So, to me, it's just a waste of time. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And it, you know, it begs to be answered, you know, what's going to happen if that type of practice continues to go on in a society where it's not commonly practiced? I mean, are people going to not engage in holy matrimony because of this practice? I mean, that could, you know, if you look at it, more people are not even getting married to begin with. People are getting into arranged setups. They're getting into sugar mamas and cake daddies. So,
right, the Angelina and Brad.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Or Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta. I mean, you know.
Right. And you know, now that kind of transitions to what did, you know, the second part of this, you know, you got the whole prenup and, you know, that's for your protection, giving you a peace of mind, you know, prior to, you know, entering into the marriage. But what happens when you're in it? That's the next question. You know, what happens when you're in it? Well, I mean, you know, you're two people now, you're a couple, you know, there's so many different financial choices and decisions you have to make. I mean, how much do you know about, you know, your other half, well, financial situation?
Well, one thing you can guarantee, once that money flow stops, whether you're a man or a woman, the sex is stopping right along with it. So once, you better have your ducats in a row. I mean, I've even met some women that have said up front, look, before we go any further, I need to see your bank account. And after I told her what she was in five different languages, I proceeded to go on to the next situation.
Wow, that's hilarious.
I mean, you got women that are teaching, you know, the daughters that, quote unquote, their sexuality is their, quote unquote, financial wherewithal. Nothing else, no trade, no essence, no nothing. You know, you don't have to come to the table with nothing but your sex appeal. And if you can't make that work for you, then you are not a woman of standard. And so that goes into the whole realm of prenuptials as well, because you have a lot of people that overvalue their place in life. As a wise man, you tell me all the time, you got to know your own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And knowing your own, you got to know what your each of your attitude is towards money too. I mean, you got to know, you know, developing the good and bad money habits, attitude to money, you know, how it's formed in the early stage. I mean, are you a saver or are you a spender? You know, with your background, your family, you know, that can play a lot. I mean, your childhood experiences, your circumstances, your parents' attitude towards money. I mean, you just basically have to just, you know, I would, you know, sit down, both of you guys talk about it. And just, you know what you simply assume with the saving, what you need to do to save, or what's your attitude towards saving, what's your attitude between money management habits. I mean, with me, I'm pretty much, I count to the penny. I think you know that already. Sometimes people be like, do you have to put the 14 cents on there? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm a numbers person. So, you know, I count to the penny and, you know, I'm a budgeter. I am definitely a saver. I'm not the type of person to be out there, you know, I got to have the Gucci and the Prada and all that. You know, I just think all that's a waste of money, because once you get it, you don't really want it. I mean, I definitely know how to separate. One important thing I want to tell everyone is separate your needs and your wants.
Uh-huh.
You agree,
most
James,
definitely.
On that. Neither wants will definitely tell you in what direction you need to go.
I mean, I'm going to testify just a little bit here today, even though it's Monday and not Sunday. I mean, I can recall a time where I would go into, you know, my favorite boutique and spend, you know, $11,000 in you know, an hour just because I could. And those items I would, you know, not even wear over the course of 2 years on a consistent basis. At the same time, you know, being forced to diversify your portfolio, you look back at your American Express statements and, you know, it's kind of a slap in the face when you have paid something but you really haven't paid for it. So to your point about the needs and wants, Do I need this suit or do I want this suit? But I need to put gas in my car. It gets down to the bare essentials of that. When the gas was at $6 a gallon a couple of years or a year and a half ago, it was so funny seeing all the 745 Beamers and the Phantoms pulled over on the side of the road because they couldn't afford the premium gas put in at the time. I mean, you're looking at $200 to fill up a 12-gallon tank. So that was the shocker. I mean, the whole attitude of quote-unquote balling has changed. That dynamic no longer exists. Either you got money or you don't. There is no in-between. And to have it and not need it is better than to need and not have it.
Right, exactly. It's not how much you make. It's not how much you have. It's how much you keep. That's always
exactly.
a term that I stick by. And another important key area that you that people should know about, I think, is financial goals. Where the financial planning come in part, you know, what are your short-term, medium, or long-term goals? Where do you see yourself, you know, in 5, 10, 20 years from now? I mean, do you want to be financially, meaning owning your home, right, outright? You know, you have children. What about the education for your children? And what are your plans for your retirement? I know me personally, I don't want to be working, you know, at 90 years old. I definitely don't want to, and I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of people out there that don't also. Definitely get on a financial plan and sit down with your partner and you guys develop a financial goal and definitely bring a planner in. Like I was saying on the last show, you know, it doesn't cost a dime to meet with a planner. And like I said, I'm a planner also. You can reach out to me if you need some help. If you don't want to, you know, work with me, there's definitely other alliances that I have in place that you can talk to because that's what we're about here at Build, Grow, and Enjoy. The lines are open, everyone, 347-215-8709. We're live in chat, buildgrowandenjoy.com, with James Boyle, the Boyd Advisory Group. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will continue this discussion about love and money and then have James kind of dip into what's going on with the combined currency and how it's going to affect our economy. So we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Kalithia, Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m., join me on the ride of financial literacy through the eyes of the new America. Join me, Kalithia, with Build, Grow, and Enjoy every Monday and Wednesday at 3 p.m. to increase your knowledge about financial literacy on WIGO 1570 AM The Light. And always remember that someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago.
And we are back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Like I said, before we went to break, we're in chat, buildgrowandenjoy.com. Lines are open, 347-215-8709. James, now,
yes.
Here is another question that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, well, question to you, because I just want, you know, for the audience to hear your opinion, and I'll tell you mine. Now, when it comes to the love and money, will you have a separate or joint account or a combined of the two? What is your answer?
Combined of the two. I know couples of all age ranges and all economic backdrops, if you will, that have confided in me their frustrations when each person does not have their own money. You know, I know of one couple very close to me, and he told me outright, you know, hey, my wife wants me to quit my job, but I'm not about to be up asking her for $20. That's two different parts of me. Obviously,
right.
There's three different parts. First part is that's funny as hell. Second part is that, you know, there's a ego male bravado there. We're not brought up to, even if our woman is that endearing, we're not going to take advantage of that. And third, there's the subconscious thought that maybe that is way to control, you know, whether it's man or woman. There are people out there that are quick to say, you know, and bring up in a fight, well, all I do for you, I put gas in your car, I feed you, I take you out, I buy your clothes, I do this, I do this, I do that. And so here you got a guy that doesn't have to work, but works so that he can have his own financial freedom. And they split the bills, but they both have their own separate accounts. Now, if you look at the people that have the joint accounts, there's always an argument. You know, there's argument of, you didn't tell me you were going to take this out the bank. And then there's the argument of, well, why did you spend this? You didn't, you know, tell me about that. We didn't need it. And it just goes on and on and on. And then that spills over into the children because they need something, but they got to go through this bureaucratic level of nonsense just to get a pair of jeans for school.
Right, right. And I actually agree with you. I think that the combination of the two is the best. You know, I worked in banks for over 10 years in my career, and, you know, I saw a lot of this. The wife would come in, don't want the husband to know about the savings account or the checking account. But what I found that worked over the years is the combination of the two pretty much. You would have one account where both salaries would go in as a joint account, and then you pretty much just pay yourself a monthly allowance, you know, giving each other that independence to spend, you know, what you want without having to ask the other, just like you said, with the male ego, you know, like, come on now, you know, you have to go to your wife and ask for $20. I wouldn't want my husband to be coming to me and bother me like that. For one, I would be like, look, I don't have time for this. So I'm like, you know, it's like, dude, just go on and just handle your own stuff. So, I mean, I think the combination of the two does work best. But it does, you know, and sometimes it can limit. It's very limited to people that can do that, but I just think it's just built in with, you know, a solid level of trust within the relationship. In addition, you just kind of want to just come to a compromise that will just suit your relationship.
Exactly.
Definitely the combination of the two is a good option to definitely gear towards. Now, the next question some may have is who pays for what? Who pays for what? We're not going to get like in depth with that, but I did want to point that out because that is an issue that comes up also. So that way I can give you time to get into this the currency, the merging of the currencies, James. But when you say who pay for what, my advice is, you know, I would say split everything 50-50. Split everything 50-50, and I would even open up an additional account. If you have your joint account with all your salaries going in, then you have your separate personal accounts that, you know, you pay yourself as your monthly allowance. I would go ahead and say split the bills 50-50 and put that in an account and actually pay the bills in that way. And that way there's, you know, a compromise, everyone's on the same page, and there's just no confusion to nothing. What do you think, James?
I think that that's a fair assessment across the board, but, you know, there are some things that don't need to be paid 50-50. For example, if you are in a relationship where one of the partners in the relationship came into the relationship with debt, maybe that's not a debt that you should automatically assume just because you're married.
Right.
You know, because at the same time, okay, you got IRS issues. Well, I love you, but, you know, that ain't my problem. Or at the same time, you might have student loans issues. Well, I love you, but that ain't my problem. So we might split the bills that we are generating together as a household.
Accumulating together, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, right. Gotcha. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't want to be, you know, obligated to pay $200,000 worth of student loans before I married you. So I have to agree with that. Now, James, tapping on this the whole currency and how is the merging of these currencies and what's kind of just shifting right now, because I definitely this is a very, very, very popular topic right now. What's going on with these merging of the currencies and how will it affect the economy?
Well, we have a new world of emerging market currencies, and that's broken up into a couple of different segments. The first segment is the emerging characteristics of the currencies, which we'll touch on. Secondly, the monetary policy, the ranges and volatility, and then how to actually trade based off those currencies. Now, for the record, for the longest, Canada, the U.S., and Mexico have been talking about merging, you know, currencies as one. You know, prior to our most recent tax law that was passed, there was a great fear that the euro would overthrow the current dollar. And even if that does, we're not out of the woods on that yet, but even if that does happen, we're up the creek. Because if other currencies in other markets of the world, for example, Asia as a whole, specifically China, because they hold all of our notes, we cannot afford that, and that will send us into a quad recession. Anyone that can count 2 + 2 will understand that. Secondly, if you look at the industrialized economies and the interest in emerging markets and assets, that's increased in recent years. So these assets tend to be somewhat volatile, and return is often worth the risk. But as we continue to emerge in these markets, the funds have reduced higher percentages for wealth than benchmark rates. And anyone that is interested in looking at that can, you know, look at the most recent Forbes.com article on that as well. And then if you go even further, you would compare the more domestic S&P 500 benchmark to emerging market fund returns that have been higher and varied widely from as low as 20% to as much as 189%. Now, this is where Main Street confuses the woes of modern common society with Wall Street. For example, Goldman Sachs employees making 6 to 7 or 8 figures has nothing to do with the economy being on the brink. What it does have to do with is a Bernie Madoff, whose accounting firm was a two-man strip mall in Jersey, and you have a hedge fund that's leveraged exceptionally, meaning that for every dollar, if a client wanted to take their money out, they had to get $20 for every dollar. Now, if you have multiple funds operating like that in all the markets around the world, and you're having to have these hundreds of billions just fluctuating up and down, up and down, up and down with the regular stock market, then guess what? It's going to be a domino effect. And so what we are right now is that you have the IMF and everybody else trying to figure out how to come together as one, since we do live in a global economy, and figure out how to stabilize, to stay off of the track of going into another bubble over the next 20 to 25 years.
Nice, nice, nice. Yeah, that's good information. You know, there's a lot going on, you know, just worldwide. And I know that a lot of countries are trying to combine the currencies. I know the Caribbean at once was trying to work something out like that just to make a stronger financial system like the euro. I mean, that is just great information shared. Well, James, you know, we're about to be out of time. I wish, you know, people keep telling me they want me to do this as an hour show, so, you know, we'll see how we can work it out, because there's so much information to share with everyone. But I definitely thank you for coming by and just kind of, you know, touching base on this whole love and money situation. Is there anything you'd just like to say to everybody before, you know, in concluding with that, before we conclude the show?
I want to say thank you for having me. Look forward to the next time, and to everyone else out there. Just hold on tight, and don't run when it hurts. Don't cry when you lose. Having said that, we will see you next time.
And I piggyback off of that. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Enjoy your Valentine. Join me on Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Build, Grow, and Enjoy, WIGO 1570 AM Delight. You guys all know him, Atlanta CNN financial analyst and CEO of Clyde Speaks, Clyde Anderson, discussing the new norm. Talk to you guys soon. Have a good day.
Thank you for taking the ride with me on Build, Grow, and Enjoy. Hoping all will be successful with the information received. Tune in every Monday and Wednesdays at 3 p.m. here on WIGO 1570 The Light with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. Remembering, positive people do positive things. Positive actions lead to positive results.